This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As we head to our precincts today, we wanted to check in with Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's political analyst, and Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News. Gentlemen, when the three of us last spoke, it was just after the final presidential debate. I asked for your campaign predictions, and you both agreed the Midwest was really the battleground for this presidential race, and that perhaps it wasn't so much it's the economy stupid, but rather it's the Midwest stupid. So, do you both agree with, well, yourselves? Daniel?
Yes, and I think the last week or 10 days of this campaign has, I think, proven us correct. I mean, you look at where both Obama and Romney are playing. Obama spending some last minute time in Wisconsin, Romney's in Pennsylvania. I think these are some of the key states to watch, of course, as is all-important Ohio, and even Michigan to some extent, although I think that's a bit of a heavier lift for Mitt Romney. But clearly, I mean, 2 years ago, people are forgetting, I think 2 years ago, these states all went red in the big wave in 2010. And, you know, there's been a few things that have happened, particularly in Ohio. But I wonder, I mean, I'm not surprised that there's some enthusiasm for the Republican ticket late in the game, and it will be interesting to see. I think it's going to be a trench fight all across the Midwest.
Jack?
Well, I don't think so much. I think this election is not going to be that close. I think Obama will win it by about 3 points. It'll be historically close compared to some of the blowouts we've had. But I'm more watching the South. I think Ohio is crucial. I don't think Wisconsin is really in play. It's voted Democratic in every election since 1984. I mean, if Dukakis won it, it would seem to me that likely that Obama will win it. But I'll be looking at Virginia and Florida early on. Romney needs to win both of those. If he loses either one, he's probably all done. But who knows? We could all be terribly surprised.
Let's talk specifically about Michigan. The fact that we discussed this the last time, that neither candidate had made an appearance. We saw Governor Romney here in early August, and then that's been it. There have been surrogates sent in. Disappointed but not surprised?
No. I mean, it's all about where these candidates go, where they think they need to be. And if they don't think that they can contest Michigan in a meaningful way, the Republican candidate is not going to come here. And I suspect that it is going to be a heavy lift. I mean, there could be a surprise, but because there's certainly been a lot of discussions about the polling and things like that. But, you know, the overall trend of the polling would suggest that Obama probably wins Michigan.
I agree with that. And I think that Romney's looked at George W. Bush, spent a lot of money and time in both of his elections trying to win Michigan, came up short both times.
Talk about the auto industry now. It seems it certainly played a huge role in this race, especially in the closing weeks. And The three of us have talked about this before. So here's the question. What happens to the issue of the auto industry now in the minds of the American public after the election day is done? Does it kind of curl up and go away, or is it still top of mind but perhaps with a less political tone?
Well, my view, and I actually wrote a column about this morning, my view on this is that this goes, once this election is over, the whole bailout debate that's been raging for 4 years goes from becoming a hot political question to becoming a historical debate. If Barack Obama wins re-election, I think there's every expectation that his Treasury Department will move ahead with unwinding the remaining shares that they hold in General Motors, probably in small pieces, so it's not a real seismic financial event. And Romney, I think, has made it clear that if he is president, he would sell those shares and take the loss and move on. People can argue about it, but as a political matter, Barack Obama could not be hurt by it again because he can't run for re-election. And I think Romney would take some action pretty quickly and say, hey, it wasn't my decision, and I'm getting out of it.
I couldn't agree more. I think Daniel's exactly right. I think that if Obama wins Ohio, it will be because of the auto bailout. Ohio is historically more Republican in close elections. So that may be the story of tonight. But after this election, whoever wins, the auto bailout is history, and the automakers are going to have to, it's going to be a whole new dynamic, and people will be looking at them in a different way.
What kind of dynamic? Talk about that new dynamic that the automakers will be working under.
Well, I think there's been some sympathy, and this whole campaign has been about is the Obama people have framed it with some success, that we saved the auto companies and everybody's happy because we saved the auto companies. But, you know, that was then and this was now, and the auto companies are going to be scrutinized to see if are they continuing to make profits, are they paying the government back, and if they get in trouble again, I'm not sure there's going to be any sympathy for another bailout. People, and also they are never, and I think Daniel will agree with me, they're never going to be the mass employer of unskilled labor at high wages that they were. And I think to some extent, the auto companies as a political factor in this country are going to dwindle.
I would say they would continue to be a factor in the Midwest to some extent, but you're absolutely right. I think we know what the trends are from an employment base. I think the other thing that I think needs to be said about the auto bailouts and the auto companies in this cycle is they are probably have emerged as the most distorted and selectively rendered topic in the entire campaign. I mean, you would think listening to the Democrats and the president that, you know, Romney wanted to take Detroit bankrupt and the administration didn't. Well, but they did. When you start to disaggregate some of the stuff, you realize that there is very little daylight between not only Mitt Romney, but a lot of other plans, and also what the Bush administration started to do, the road they started to go down in December of 2008. And Romney, on his side, has said some really stupid things, like he said, personally said, that they wanted to ship all production of all Jeeps to China from the United States, which is patently untrue. It's just been a continual litany of distortions, and not just by the candidates, but by the campaigns, by their surrogates. It drives those of us that know this industry pretty well around the bend to listen to some of this stuff.
And I suspect in the offices of the automakers, it's driving them around the bend, too, because the last thing, we've talked about this, they wanted to be is the poster child for what was broken and I fixed it.
Oh, I think that's exactly right, and you know, and I know General Motors is—it's driving them crazy. But they're in a position where they can't really be out front and say much about this. Chrysler, to their credit, I suppose, came out and issued some statements about this whole Jeeps in China thing, including a letter from the CEO, Sergio Marchionne, that was made public, saying you know what their exact plans were. But again, some of this stuff and some of their long-term plans have been known to those of us that cover the industry for some period of time, but in a campaign like this, it all gets treated like it's new news when it really, in fact, isn't.
To me, the big mystery of this campaign is that Romney just couldn't leave this issue alone. He ought to have said in the Michigan primary, that was then and this was now, and everybody is happy that the auto companies are thriving, but he kept returning to it in sort of a John Kerry-like, I voted for it before I voted against it, and everything he said, see, true or not, seemed to make it worse for him.
Well, I think that's true, but I think part of that, Jack, was that he was also bludgeoned. You know, that the New York Times headline on that op-ed from November 2008 was an absolute gift to the Obama campaign. And no matter what he said, they could continue to beat him over the head with that. And that's really how modern campaigning can work. You know, I've had my own discussions with political types who, you know, you start to talk to them about the nuances of the issue that they're demagoguing, and they'll just come back to the point and say, all I know is X. And all I know is that Romney had wrote an op-ed that was headlined, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, and they continue to use that, and it resonates with people. If they're too lazy or dishonest to actually look at some of the issues and try to understand what actually happened.
Well, on the other hand, though,
people don't.
On the other hand, Romney talked as if, and sometimes he still talks as if, this could have been done with private money, with money in the capital markets, and that money just wasn't there in 2009.
You're right. And we got, when the Detroit News Editorial Board interviewed Romney in February of 2012, I pushed him personally on that issue. And he said they could have guaranteed the loans. And I said, look, you're in this business better than I do, there wasn't the money there. And he looked in at us and he said, I, as president of the United States, would not allow these companies to fail. That they would have used, had he been president, he would have used Treasury money if he could have to keep them afloat. Now, he said that in one interview with one group of journalists. That wasn't a talking point that they used regularly, and I think that kind of makes your point.
You're right, though, Daniel. I don't think any president could have let them fail politically. George W. Bush started the bailout. I think anybody would have done it.
Well, and that's the big lie about this thing in this whole debate is, and I have maintained this for years, that any president, particularly a first-term president, who is faced with economic disaster in the industrial Midwest, which, as we're discussing earlier, is critical to re-election of a president, when faced with the situation that Barack Obama was faced with, would have done the same thing. And George W. Bush said as much. He says it in his book. He said it in a speech not too long ago that if he had to do it all over again, he'd do it all over again. I just think it's a canard to suggest that a president, and I'm not talking about Republican senators from the South who were rooting for Detroit to fail. I'm talking about a president of either party. I don't think would let that happen.
Can I ask both of you, we'd like to see what your predictions are. What do you think the headlines will read when we wake up tomorrow morning?
Well, I hope they don't say deadlock. I don't think we can take another one of those. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll say Obama wins, Democrats hold Senate.
I think the headlines will probably say Ohio is still too close to call, and it's not quite over, and that the ballot proposals in the state of Michigan have all failed, and the emergency manager law has been upheld.
All right. We're going to measure that, and we always enjoy talking with both of you. Thanks for talking with us this Election Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.